So today we have a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 35. The chapter is called The Killing of Denika, the Ass Demon. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, that Lord Balaram killed Denikasura is not such a wonderful thing, considering that he is the unlimited personality of Godhead, the controller of the entire universe. Indeed, the entire cosmos rests upon him, just as a woven cloth rests upon his own horizontal and vertical threads. Please repeat. My dear King Parikshit,
my dear King Parikshit,
that Lord Balaram killed Denikasura,
that Lord Balaram killed Denikasura,
is not such a wonderful thing.
Is not such a wonderful thing.
Considering that he is the unlimited personality of Godhead. The controller of the entire universe. Indeed, the entire cosmos rests upon him. Just as a woven cloth rests upon its own horizontal and vertical threads. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskya Tadesha Sarane Vanshakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak today. I'm very honored to be with all of you on this very auspicious day and very enlivened to see how many devotees are here and how devotional it is here. So it's a great source of inspiration for me personally. And I hope that we can sit for some time and glorify Lord Balaram in some small way. This presentation I divided into three parts. The first one is the truth and reality of Balaram, his tattva. The second is his inherent qualities and character, rasa. And the last one is how he is relevant to us here today, now. So we begin with his tattva, his truth and reality. And the content of this part of the presentation is primarily from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The analogy is given that if you have many, many unlit candles, so many unlit candles, but one candle that is lit, with that lit candle you can light all the innumerable unlit candles. So that one lit candle, the original personality of Godhead, is Lord Sri Krishna himself. And from him there's so many expansions. They're called Vishnu Tattva, and they are to be distinguished always from Jiva Tattva. We are all Jiva Tattva, a tiny part of God, whereas the Vishnu Tattva is God himself, the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead. So Lord Krishna is not an incarnation. He is directly the original personality of Godhead himself. And when he expands into different forms, those forms are manifest due to the different attachments the devotees have for the Lord. He appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. And his very first manifestation is Lord Balaram. It's stated that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is blackish and Lord Balaram is whitish. There's two types of expansions it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Lord. One is Prakash and one is Vilas. So the Prakash expansion is exactly like Krishna, just like when Krishna danced with all the gopis during the rasa dance. Each and every form of Krishna looked like each and every other form of Krishna. There was no difference. And similarly, When Krishna married 16,108 wives in Dwarka, all those forms look identical. Those are called prakash. But Velas expansions, there's some difference. So Lord Balaram is the first Velas expansion of Lord Krishna. These two, Krishna and Balaram, are one and the same. Sorry, there's a typo there. Identity. They differ only in form. So another name for Lord Balaram we heard this morning is Sankarshan. Sankarshan, Prabhupada says, that the Lord of Gravitation is a display of the potency of Sankarshan. The scientist's law of gravity is a partial explanation of Lord Sankarshan's energy. The name Sankarshan has an etymological relationship to the idea of gravity, as the Sanskrit word karshana means the act of drawing near or pulling. So this is one of Balaram's names, Sankarshan. We'll refer to that a little bit later also. So from Balaram, he also expands. This is a little bit confusing. Another name for Balaram is Sankarshan. Balaram also expands into another form, also called Sankarshan. So Balaram is also called Sankarshan, and he expands himself into another form, also called Sankarshan. And this Sankarshan is the shelter of the spiritual energy. Lord Balaram is responsible for everything that goes on in the material and the spiritual worlds. Prabhupada explains that in the spiritual sky, Sankarshan is the shelter of everything. He maintains the transcendental existence of all the planets there, the Vaikuntha planets and Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, where all the living beings are eternally liberated. Although there is no question of creation as far as the spiritual sky is concerned, the spiritual world is nonetheless manifested by the supreme will of Sankarshan. And this is, as we know, the supreme spiritual abode, Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha planets. Outside this spiritual realm, which Prabhupada describes as three-quarters of the creation, outside this, there's this impersonal Brahman effulgence, the energy of God, the light, they call it, or the force. And beyond that is the causal ocean. That's an endless, unfathomable mass of water. And in that causal ocean lies a plenary portion of Sankarshan, Balaram's partial representation. And that plenary portion is the master of the illusory energy. So it looks like this. From Krishna, as he expands to Balaram, Balaram expands. This is actually called the Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan Vasudeva Pradumyan Aniruddha. From this Sankarshan, there's another expansion. That one is called Narayan. And from Narayan, there's yet another expansion, again the Chaturvyuha, a second Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan Vasudeva Pradumyan Aniruddha. And from this Sankarshan, he also expands. And what you have is Karanadakshay Vishnu. He's also called Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu lies down in this causal ocean, which is beyond the Vaikuntha planets and beyond the Brahman effulgence. And in his sleep, he breathes in and out. And as he breathes out, the universes come from the pores of his body. The analogy is there that sometimes you see a screen on a window. Perhaps these windows don't have screens, but you've all seen screens on windows. And when the sun is shining, you'll see minute particles going in and out of those holes of the screen. So in a similar, analogous way, as this Karanadakshay Vishnu lies, sleeping in this causal ocean, as he exhales from his body, universes are coming out, seeds of universes, as you can see them there. Here in this illustration, he has his eyes closed. When he opens his eyes and glances at the material nature, he impregnates it with the jivatmas, all of us. And the unfathomable intelligence of God is that each and every jivatma receives a body just according to their karma in the previous cosmic manifestation. So whatever we had in the previous cosmic manifestation, as Mahavishnu, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, breathes out and all these universes come, he glances at them and impregnates them with the jivatma, and each jivatma gets a body just that's due to it from its previous karma. Sankarsana is the original cause of the causal ocean, where Karnadakshaya Vishnu lies asleep, breathing out the seeds of innumerable universes. The water of the causal ocean is spiritual. The Ganges, which is but a drop of it, purifies the fallen souls. So this illustration actually shows, it was made to show transmigration, but here I'm trying to show that when this glance, this potent glance of Karnadakshaya Vishnu is on the material manifestation, the jiva comes from that glance and enters one of these bodies. And the important point we may note about Karnadakshaya Vishnu is that the emotion of being a devotee is always in his heart. The emotion of being a devotee is always in the heart of Karnadakshaya Vishnu. And then he expands. We saw earlier those bubbles coming from him that became universes. So Karnadakshaya Vishnu expands and enters each and every universe in two forms of Vishnu. One is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And this is one universe, one tiny particle that came from Karnadakshaya Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters this, and it's empty. There's nothing there. And from his perspiration, he fills up half the universe, and he lies down on that water. And from his navel, we know Lord Brahma is born. And Lord Brahma creates the diversity in this universe. There are 14 planetary systems. In the middle there is a little, you can't read it, but the Earth planet is in the middle. And there are 7 planetary systems above and 7 below the Earth planet. And also, just to the right, it says one universe among unlimited material universes. Below that, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So to the right of that is yet another expansion of Balaram called Chirodakshaya Vishnu, whom we'll come to soon. But I wanted to briefly talk about Lord Brahma. That Lord Brahma, when he first enters the universe, it's dark. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, what he's supposed to be doing, where he came from. Very much perhaps our state before we found the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness. And then he hears the words ta-pa, which means in Sanskrit penance or austerity. And he takes that as a divine sound. And he meditates for 1,000 celestial years. And after that he has a vision by the grace of the Lord. He has a vision of Vaikuntha. He experiences the Lord there. And he actually shakes the Lord's hand there. And then he offers, Lord Brahma offers beautiful prayers. So I wanted to read just a couple of those and then look at one prayer more closely. Lord Brahma prays to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. O my Lord, today after many, many years of penance, I have come to know about you. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are that they are unable to know your personality. The form which I see is eternally freed from material contamination and has advented to show mercy to the devotees as a manifestation of internal potency. You are the origin of many other incarnations, and I am born from the lotus flower grown from your navel home. This present form, or any transcendental form expanded by the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, is equally auspicious for all the universes. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So here is Brahma praying. Actually, the deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, who are the executive heads of the modes of nature, passion, goodness, and ignorance, they're all generated from this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Now, there's one prayer after these prayers. Lord Brahma says, Vishod bhava stiti layeshu nimita lila rasaya te nama idam chakrem svaraya. Which means, Prabhupada's translation, I offer my obeisances unto him who by his pastimes enjoys the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. And this is just a couple of sentences from Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, which is in the third canto. The word rasa is significant herein. The rasa dance is performed by Lord Krishna in the company of the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. And the personality of Godhead Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is also engaged in rasa enjoyment with his external potency, by which he creates, maintains, and dissolves the entire material manifestation. I was very much struck by that. And also, I went to Radhadesh some time ago, and I found this illustration there. In the center, you see Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lying in the water that he created, and around him you see Krishna and the gopis enjoying the rasa dance. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is engaged in rasa enjoyment with his external potency, by which he creates, maintains, and dissolves the entire material manifestation. So the second expansion of Karnadakshaya Vishnu that enters each universe is Chiradakshaya Vishnu. He resides within each and every universe, and he has his own planet on the northern part of the universe. He lies in a great ocean of milk there. It's called Svetadvip, the abode of the sustainer. Now, this is a very beautiful painting, but it was not done under the instruction of a realized devotee because it's a little bit inaccurate. In fact, the demigods, whom you see there on the right, they do not directly approach Chiradakshaya Vishnu. This painting was done under Prabhupada's instruction. And the caption there, which is hard to read, it says, aggrieved by the world's demonic politicians, Lord Brahma and the other demigods went to the planet Svetadvip. There, at the shore of the milk ocean, they prayed for Lord Vishnu to come to earth. So in other words, the demigods don't directly go to Chiradakshaya Vishnu, but they go to the shore of the ocean where he resides, and there they appeal to him on special occasions to appear as an incarnation and reduce the burden of the world. They're unable to see him directly. And he does. It's described that all the incarnations come through this Chiradakshaya Vishnu, all the incarnations within this universe. And they expand for the happiness of the pure devotees. So here you see Matsya, Korma, Varaha, Nisringa, Vamana, Parasaram, Ram, Balaram, Krishna, and Kalki. Also, we know that, as I mentioned, there are these three heads of the different departments, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the head of the mode of passion who creates this world is Lord Brahma, and the head of ignorance who destroys the world is Shiva, and then this Chiradakshaya Vishnu is the one who's the head of the mode of goodness and who maintains this world. Chiradakshaya Vishnu, now we're talking about an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, etc., of Lord Balaram. Chiradakshaya Vishnu also, as Paramatma, he is the all-pervading supersoul of all living entities, and he's present even within the atoms. So when we go to the verse in Bhagavad Gita from the fifth chapter, how the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, you can see there that he's seeing this Paramatma in the heart of each of these different creatures. And that is an expansion of this Chiradakshaya Vishnu. In the purport to this verse in the Gita, Prabhupada says, "The Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion as Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. The Lord is equally kind to everyone because he treats every living being as a friend and yet maintains himself as the Supersoul, regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The soul and the Supersoul within the body are of the same spiritual quality, but that does not make them equal in quantity. For the individual soul is present only in one particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. The Supersoul is conscious of all bodies and is present in all bodies without distinction." So the Lord is so kind upon all of us that wherever we go, whatever body we enter, he accompanies us in every circumstance. So the idea is that Chiradakshaya Vishnu maintains this material world. He's within every atom of it as the Supersoul, Paramatma, and actually his opulences cannot be conceived or counted. Another expansion of Balaram is Sesha. Sesha very often appears as a snake, and here you see that he's protecting Krishna as Vasudeva carries him across the Yamuna after his birth. Sesha has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He is responsible for personal service to the Lord. And he has another name, Ananta. Ananta assists the Supreme Lord in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. So here you see Vishnu lying on Sesha. Which form of Vishnu is this? Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. You can tell because Lord Brahma is appearing from the lotus coming from his navel. It's described that this Sesha, Ananta, he has thousands of heads, thousands of faces, thousands of eyes, thousands of hands and feet, and thousands of hoods. He also has thousands of mouths. And from time immemorial, he's been glorifying the Lord with his thousands of mouths. And although he goes on indefinitely glorifying the Lord, he does not come to the end of his glories. And the quality of this Sesha, Ananta, is always ready to serve the personality of Godhead and wait on him constantly to see to all his needs. Here he is in the ocean of milk supporting Chiradakshaya Vishnu. It's described also, Prabhupada says, that this Sesha takes different forms. Please try to hear the different forms that Sesha takes. Umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. So in this picture, what forms of Lord Sesha do you see? Throne? I have to speak up, please. Umbrella. I didn't see slippers. Where do you see slippers? I was looking for slippers. There should be slippers there, but I didn't see them.
Behind the pillow.
Oh, okay. Maybe somebody took them. Crown? Crown actually isn't mentioned here. Any others?
Residence.
Brahmin's thread. Residence. Pillows? Pillows?
Garments.
Thank you. Also here we find Krishna is in Vrindavan and he has an umbrella. So the idea being that Balaram and all his expansions always consider themselves devotees. The source of the sentiment of servitude is Lord Balaram. And the plenary expansions that follow him are all influenced by this ecstasy of servitude. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I accept this as the truth because it has been said by devotees. Since Balaram is the source of all incarnations, everything is possible for him. So there's just one more slide to end this tattva section. This is a coin. It's from 4,000 years ago. And it was from the Indo-Greek king, Agathocles. And on one side you see Krishna holding the Kanchan chakra, and the other side is Balaram holding the club and plow. This is 4,000 years old. So we know that when you have a coin in countries, you put exalted people on it. In America, we put President Lincoln, President Washington. Here, I think you have the Queen. So here, these personalities are recognized, so exalted, that the king honored them by putting them on this coin. So we move on to talk about the rasas of Lord Balaram, his qualities and characteristics. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Balaram is the 19th incarnation and Lord Krishna is the 20th. And they both removed the burden of the world. Now this section, the primary references are the Nectar of Devotion and also the Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami. It was translated by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. So formerly, Lord Balaram appeared as Lakshman. He was very beautiful and opulent. But as the younger brother of Ram, he could not stop Ram from his resolution. And so he remained silent, and he was very unhappy in his mind. Lakshman and Ram are plenary portions of Balaram and Krishna. And when Balaram and Krishna appeared, they had entered into them. Balaram this time became his elder brother, so he could serve Krishna to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. We know from the Gita that when there's a decline in religious practices and a predominant rise of irreligion, and the situation becomes very chaotic, that the Lord appears personally to rectify this imbalance. And he delivers the pious, he annihilates the demons, the miscreants, and he also reestablishes the principles of religion. So we find throughout Krishna and Balaram's pastimes that they were doing that, systematically killing powerful asuras who became a very great burden for this earth. When Krishna and Balaram appeared, their foster parents called for Gargamuni to do a name-giving ceremony. And Gargamuni said that because this child will give, he was referring to Balaram, will give all happiness to his relatives and friends by his transcendental qualities, he will be known as Rama. And because he is very powerful, both physically powerful and spiritually powerful, he's known as Bala. Also, he's known as Rama because by his grace one can attain the highest bliss of life. Gargamuni went on, because he is as powerful as Lord Krishna, he can bestow spiritual power to the devotees. Therefore, he's called Baladev. Because he unites two families, the family of Vasudev and the family of Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, he was called Sankarshan. So, Krishna explains in the Gita that he is covered by yoga maya, and because of this covering of yoga maya, people don't understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sanskrit phrase is also there, avan manasa gochara. That avan means he is beyond the ability of words to express. Amanasa, he is beyond our mental conception. We cannot conceive of, as we could see earlier, we cannot conceive of the power, the potency of God. So because he is beyond this, ordinary people try to reduce him, to make him ordinary like they are. But in fact, he is forever covered from ordinary people. The whole universe is under his subjugation. Baladev was actually, as we heard this morning, he was the seventh son of Devaki, but by the influence of Yogamaya, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini. Therefore, he's called Rohini Nandana, one of his many names, one who gives pleasure to Rohini. And both Krishna and Balaram were raised by Nanda Maharaj. They were stepbrothers, but they were companions throughout their lives, constant companions from their very childhood. At first, Nanda Maharaj, when he carried Krishna across the Yamuna, he brought him to Gokula. When Vasudev carried Krishna across the Yamuna, he brought him to Nanda Maharaj's home in Gokula. And the beginning of their lives, Krishna and Balaram grew up there. But after Putana came and created a great horrific disturbance, and after Trinavarta also created complete chaos, trying to carry Krishna away and kill him, and also after the twin Yamalarjuna trees fell down, Nanda Maharaj and the others, residents of Gokula, met together, and they decided it was too dangerous in Gokula for the children. And so they packed up everything, the entire village, and they moved to Nandagram. So there, Krishna and Balaram took charge of the cows, and every day they would go to the forests, eager to enjoy the beautiful forests of Nandagram, Vrindavan. Krishna loved to play with Balaram and his friends in the many forests of Braja. Sometimes they would pretend to be bulls and fight with each other. Sometimes they would imitate the calls of the various animals, and they were acting just like ordinary boys. Their pastimes were ever fresh adventures. It was like an endless festival of wonderful sights and surprises. There's a statement in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. It says, "The smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord is most magnanimous. Indeed, for those who bow down to the Lord, his smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world." Sometimes after playing, Balaram would become tired, and he would lay down and put his head on the lap of a friend, and Lord Krishna would massage his feet. Sometimes Krishna would take a fan made from leaves and fan Balaram to relieve him of his fatigue. Sometimes he would go to the river and get some water and bring it to Balaram, also to give him some shelter, some relaxation. This is a little part from the Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada writes, "A person who shows respect to a spiritual master, a Brahmin, and an old person is to be understood as respectful." This is one of Krishna's 64 qualities, respectful. When superior persons assembled before Krishna, Krishna first of all offered respect to his spiritual master, then to his father, and then to his elder brother, Balaram. In this way, Lord Krishna, the lotus-eyed, was completely happy and pure at heart in all of his dealings. Balaram sometimes unknowingly offered respect to Krishna. Once, when Krishna came before Lord Balaram, Krishna was anxious to offer his respect to his elder brother, but at that time, Balaram's club was lowered down upon Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, the club in Balaram's hand offered its own respect to Krishna. So, in the Pauganda age, which is between 6 and 10, Krishna was feeling very pleased to see the exalted qualities of the people and the animals and the non-moving beings in Vrindavan. And he wanted to say something to glorify these residents of Vrindavan. And to do that, he offered prayers to Lord Balaram and spoke of the extreme good fortune of the Vrajavasis. So I'll just read a few of those praises that Krishna offered to Balaram. Oh, I think I don't have those here. Oh, yes, here they are. O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. O good fortune personified, O original personality of Godhead, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, these bees refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. The peacocks also are dancing before you out of joy, and the doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances. Just as the gopis do, these cuckoos are honoring you with the Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. The earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet, and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glance. So sometimes Lord Balaram would act as Krishna's guru or parent. Sometimes he would serve Krishna, and sometimes they would have brotherly relationships. I wanted to also explore one pastime. You all probably are familiar with the pastime of Kaliya, that Kaliya had residence for some time in a little part of the Yamuna, and Kaliya's poison made the water poisonous and the air poisonous. When Krishna's friends drank the water of the Yamuna, they fell down, apparently dead, and the calves and cows as well. And Krishna glanced over them and restored them back to life. And then Krishna decided that Kaliya had been there long enough, and he climbed into a tree, tightened his belt, flapped his arms like a wrestler, and jumped into the Yamuna, and swam around. And Kaliya was very disturbed by this and grabbed Krishna in his coils. And Krishna stayed in those coils for 2 hours. 2 hours. Now this particular day, ordinarily, as I mentioned, Krishna and Balaram were constant companions. But this particular day, Balaram did not go with Krishna. Balaram stayed home. And when Krishna was captured in the coils of Kaliya, there were many inauspicious symptoms throughout Vrindavan. There was trembling of the earth, and there was also meteors falling from the sky, and the left side of people's eyes quivered, the left eye quivered. And so the residents thought something terrible was happening. And they started running because they knew that Balaram was not with Krishna that particular day. They had great fear for what had happened to Krishna. So they started running towards the Yamuna. They were following the footprints of Lord Krishna. And Balaram was at home with Rohini. And when he heard the commotion outside, this is from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described, and he heard the people saying something terrible is happening to Krishna, the first thing he did was convince his mother to stay at home, and then he went out into the street. And as he was going, he was saying to the people, Krishna cannot be defeated, have no fear. Finally, he reached the lake, so I'm going to pick it up there from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Balaram soon reached the lake, but was one of the last to arrive on the scene. Seeing his younger brother in such a state, he couldn't keep his gravity and wept in the distress of love. As he lamented in ways that would shatter logs and stones, suddenly he fainted. In the bewildering commotion, Yashoda and Nanda had already fainted. All living beings there made a great and fearful cry, full of agony, that made the whole universe cry in pain. Awakened by that tumult, with great effort, Balaram, the most determined of heroes, steadied himself. A moment later, Krishna's parents again became conscious. Seeing their son in such a plight, they cried loudly and rushed to enter the lake. But powerful Balaram held them back with the strength of his arms. Lamenting for Krishna and wishing to die, Nanda and the other Brajabasis were kept from giving up their lives only by the efforts of Balaram. It had taken all of Balaram's mental strength to convince his mother to stay home, and it took all his physical strength to restrain Nanda and Yashoda. Overcome with sorrow and a voice choked with emotion, Balaram called out to Krishna. So we have Balaram standing on the shore, calling out to his younger brother, who's wrapped in the coils of Kaliya. Balaram says, "These are not the attendants who live with you in Vaikuntha. They are not the forest monkeys. They are not the Yadavas. These are your devotees of Goloka, who have no life other than you. They are dying, my lord, and there is nothing I can do to save them." Sanatan Goswami comments, "Balaram reminds Krishna that the Goloka devotees are different from Krishna's other eternal associates, his Vaikuntha associates, his monkey soldiers of Ayodhya, and the Yadus of Dwarka. The Goloka Vasis are exclusively dependent on Krishna. The Lord's devotees in Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, and Dwarka, always aware of Krishna's omnipotence, managed to tolerate separation from him, and so they could have responded favorably to Balaram's consoling words. But the hearts of these Golokavasis, under the intolerable weight of their prema, have lost all equilibrium. The Golokavasis cannot actually estimate Krishna's power and are convinced that Kaliya is about to finish him. If Krishna himself does not act to relieve them, they will die." Balaram continued, "O merciful Krishna, please give up this game, otherwise your gentle heart will come to grief." Sanatan Goswami comments, "Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas, and so he feels pathos, karuna rasa. Although he enjoys the sport of pretending to be lifeless, his devotees are driven to desperation by it. If he doesn't stop the sport, he will be the last one to lament when his devotees have died. Balaram is playing on Krishna's emotions because he knows that Krishna cannot tolerate seeing his devotees suffer." So, hearing that, Krishna freed himself from the grip of Kaliya, and we know that he stepped on his hoods and did a marvelous dance and gradually defeated him. And while he was doing that, Balaram brought Nanda and the others on the shore back to consciousness, where they gazed at Krishna with delight and surprise. Even though Krishna was saved, these older cowherds were still wary of what Kaliya might do. It's also described the personal beauty of Balaram. "Let me take shelter at the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by his earrings touching his cheek. His face is decorated with tilak made from musk, and his broad chest is decorated with a garland of conch shells. His complexion is as white as an autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue color, and his voice is very grave. His arms are long, touching his thighs, and he has shown great strength by killing the Palumba demon. Let me take shelter of the chivalrous Balaram." Sometimes the boys would play, this is described in the Nectar Devotion, at Krishna, they were in the forest, and Krishna would take one side and Balaram would play on another side, and there would be mock fighting between the two parties. And when Krishna's party was defeated by Balaram, the boys would say, "If Balaram's party remains victorious, then who in the world can be weaker than ourselves?" Later on, Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And when Akrura just saw the faces of Krishna and Balaram, He became so cheerful that all over his body there were symptoms of ecstatic love. But we know that the gopis suffered terribly at this point. And Sanatana Goswami describes that when Akrura took Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan, Balaram could have expertly pacified the Brajabasis, as he had done previously with the Kaliya pastime. He had managed to pacify the Brajabasis. But this time, he did not make that attempt. Akrura told Balaram about the plight of Vasudev and Devaki and the others of the Yadu dynasty in Mathura, how they were suffering under the oppression and the cruelty of King Kamsa. And they were miserable. And Balaram actually gave his consent for Krishna to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura. And Sanatana Goswami says, had it not been for Balaram giving his consent, Krishna might never have left Vrindavan. Later on in the pastimes, after Krishna defeats Kamsa and goes to live in Dwarka, Balaram accompanies him. And at some point, it's described in the Krishna book, I think it's chapter 65, Lord Balaram returns to Vrindavan to console the Brijbasis who are overwhelmed with feelings of separation from Krishna. And he spends 2 months there with Nanda and Yasoda and his cowherd friends and the gopis, and they feel great satisfaction being in his presence. But Balaram perceives the dire plight of the Brijbasis, feeling this vipralamba seva, this separation from Krishna. So when he goes back to Dwarka, he reports to Krishna. So I wanted to read Lord Balaram's report to Krishna. Balaram concluded that only Krishna's returning to Vraj would forestall disaster in Vraj. Balaram anxiously requested Krishna, Krishna, please find some excuse to go to your cowherd village just once and save the lives of the people there. The cowherd community was made up of Krishna's own people with whom he had enjoyed the pleasures of his childhood. Now that they were drowning in an ocean of misery, he surely ought to be willing to visit Vraja to save them. Having heard Balaram's statement, the Blessed Lord felt overwrought with worry for his devotees. Scorching anxiety dried up his lotus face. He was filled with dread. He glanced at the face of Baladev, who knew all the tidings of Vraja, both past and present, and saw that his face was covered with tears. Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Baladev, Krishna's older brother, was a constant witness to Krishna's pastimes, first in Vrindavan and then in Mathura and Dwarka. Krishna trusted Baladev to be a sober judge of facts. So when Krishna saw the face of Baladev, his own anxiety only increased. Baladev was unable to keep his composure. Remembering Vraja and understanding his brother's mood, Baladev began crying without control. But then he managed to speak distinctly. Sri Baladev said, all the animals in Vraja are your beloved friends, and so are the birds and the trees. The grass, the creepers, the lush bushes have all dedicated their lives to you. Now they are all wasting away, and so too are the rivers and mountains. In the agony of Vipralamba Bhav, the agony of separation from the Lord, the forest deer and other wild animals in Vraja had all become emaciated. And so had the birds like the peacocks and even the inanimate rivers like the Yamuna and the mountains like Govardhan. Baladev continued, some of the people, dear brother, live only on the hope that your promise will come true. Better not to ask to hear more news than this. This statement has sober implication that many residents of Vraja, no longer able to tolerate separation from Krishna, had already left their bodies. In their own sarupas, their own original forms, they had gone to join Krishna in his pastimes. Others kept themselves alive in Vraja, sustaining themselves by remembering Krishna and transcendentally perceiving his eternal, unmanifest pastimes there. More than once, Krishna had promised the Vrajabasis that he would return to them soon. Therefore, some of them continued to expect him, even after others had lost all hope. Lord Balaram asked Krishna not to inquire further into the news of Vraja. It would be too painful to hear. Sri Baladev said, "In Vraja, the river Yamuna has turned so dry she has hardly any water. And Govardhan, who, when you held him up, touched heaven, has now become short." Sanatan Goswami says, "Sri Yamuna, the site of many of Krishna's pastimes, was once a great broad river with mighty waves and swift, deep-flowing currents. Now, in pain over Krishna's absence, she had become just a trickle, diminished to almost nothing." Having heard this, Krishna, who is gentle by nature and tormented by the suffering of others, grasped Balaram by the neck and shed a flood of tears, like a person whose life is in ruin. As he cried with loud sobs, in his beautiful voice, the tears washed away the cosmetics from his body. Hare Krishna. So we come now to the final part, which is Balaram's relevance to us. And for that we have a song. This song is by Narottam Das Thakur. Jamuna once asked Srila Prabhupada what his favorite song was. And Prabhupada said this song, Hari Hari Vipale. So I think Bhaktin Abhi will lead us in this song. We have the words here so we can all sing along.
Sankirtana Kratina chan milo kenne tai. Kratina chan milo kenne Samsara Pishana Laya Deepa Nishahi Ajvala
Samsara Pishana Laya
Deepa Nishahi Ajvala Jirai te na koi nu upai Rajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Sutta Hoyla Sai Rajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Sutta Hoyla Sai Balarama Hoyla Dina hina chata chilo Hari nama uta bilo
Dina hina chata chilo Hari nama
uta bilo Dina hina chata chilo Hari nama uttari lo
Dina
sakshi chagai ma Mahaprabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhanu Sutta Yutta Mahaprabhu Nanda Sutta Vrishabhanu Sutta Yutta Purna Karaha Narathama dasakoi na teli huranga pahi. Narathama dasakoi na teli huranga pahi. Soma vina kea chea mara. Soma vina kea chea mara. Bihari pifale janama. Goyena hainu.
O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as a congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken shelter, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. Lord Krishna, who is the son of the king of Raj, became the son of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were very lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jaga and Madai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Rishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottama Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet. For who is my beloved except for you?
So when we're discussing the relevance of Lord Balaram to us, Prabhupada describes that Lord Balaram has come in this age as Lord Nityananda, and he can bestow spiritual strength on us. We can appeal to him for spiritual strength, appeal to him for his mercy. He was so merciful to the fallen during his appearance. And that by this spiritual strength we can attain the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of Radha Krishna. So we can appeal in this way to Lord Balaram for this mercy. Without that mercy, we will always remain in the dark well of this material world. Prabhupada also describes that he established the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan because he wanted to tell the world that there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram and Gaur Nitai. They are the same personalities. And that actually, without the mercy of Gaur Nitai, we cannot enter into understanding the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. These are the deities in New Mayapur, Krishna Balaram. And Balaram himself, he always thinks himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. Nityananda always feels himself an eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya. As the source of spiritual power, the spiritual master is the representative of Lord Balaram. He can supply us spiritual strength. It's described that one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently graced by Lord Balaram. We must have this spiritual strength which is coming from Balaram. And with that strength we can overcome lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, all the problems that beset us in this world. So even if we're materially inclined, we can still take shelter of these lords, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitai, and very soon we'll be purified of our material desires. And be free of pious and impious activities and become qualified for going back home, back to Godhead. It all starts by pleasing the spiritual master, by adhering firmly to his instructions. By his grace, we can get the mercy of Lord Balaram. Please, Lord Balaram. Hare Krishna. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will be immediately vanquished if one sincerely chants the holy names of Krishna and Balaram. So perhaps we have a few minutes if there's some discussion on these many points.